Good evening, welcome. Welcome if you're joining us online. Please do stay for refreshments after the service if you're able to. But we're here to worship God. So let's start our time together by praying. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, we thank you that on this bright Sunday evening, we can come and worship the glorious living God. We pray that you will help us to grasp something more of you. We pray that what we learn tonight will be things that help us tomorrow and the next day and in the rest of our lives. But most of all, we pray that you will help us to grasp what it means to know and please the living God. Amen. So we're going to be singing to God's praise. And when the music starts, let's stand and sing, "Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord." Bible reading is in Psalms. Actually, so I've mucked up the order. We're going to pray before we do the Bible reading. So let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come to you as children. We thank you that we come to you with our weakness, with our mistakes, with our brokenness. And as we come to you knowing you delight to give good gifts to your children. We come to you knowing that you know all about us. You know how we're feeling. You know what we've done. You know the things that we would hide from others. You know the things that we even try and hide from ourselves. Because you are great and you are good. And as we come to you as our Father, we realized, and we only realized in a little bit, that we come to a Father who is glorious, a Father who made everything, a Father who keeps everything going, and a Father who one day is going to come back and make everything right, who is going to deal with everything that has ever been wrong in this world and bring complete justice. So as we think about that, we ask that you will forgive our selfish ways. We pray that you will forgive the times that we have forgotten you, where we have made more of what you've given us than you, where we have wanting to grab things for ourselves, where we have not loved you, and where we have not loved other people. Oh Lord, you know. Oh Lord, do forgive. And we pray most of all that you will restore our relationship with you. Oh Lord, we know that's only possible because of your love which sent Jesus to pay the price for sin, so that whoever believes in him won't perish but will have everlasting life. Oh, we thank you for that. And we pray that the treasure that you give us will be the thing that we value most. We pray that you'll help us to have that in our minds as we go through this next week. And whether the sun is shining or we're getting soaked in the rain, oh Father, we pray that the thing that will bring us joy is knowing you. And we pray that as we know that joy, that we will be those who bring that joy to others. Oh Lord, you know the things that are precious for us. You know that some of us are feeling older and feeling weak and feeling lonely. And I pray that for those people, they may know and know in a really powerful way that you are good, that you keep your promises, and that one day you will be taking them home to be with you in perfect joy forever. Oh Lord, you know others are worried about their health, their physical health, their mental health, the pain they're in. Oh Father, we pray that you'll comfort them. Others are worried about pressure, about responsibilities, about how they will cope with the different things that they are facing in life. Oh Father, we thank you are faithful. We thank you never leave us. We thank you never let us down. And Father, I pray for our young people. I pray that you will be with them as many of them face exams. And all of them look forward to the future. Oh Father, I pray that you will give them the sense that they won't be alone in the future if they know you. That their lives will have real value and purpose, whatever they're doing, if they're doing what you want them to. Oh Lord, we pray that as they look to success, that the biggest success that will matter for them is that their Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. And Father, we pray that those of us who are older will be good examples to them of that. Oh Lord, we thank you that we don't have to guess at what the living God says to us. We thank you that we have your word. And we pray that as Steve comes and explains it to us, oh Lord, we pray that that word will be powerful and effective and really blessing us in our lives. And Lord, we do pray as well for this world that doesn't know you, this world that is without you and without any hope. Oh Lord, we pray especially for your people who are in conflict zones. Oh Father, we pray for the Christians who are in Gaza. Oh Lord, we pray that you will comfort them, that they will know your peace, that they will be able to share the good news of Jesus in those extreme conditions. And Father, we do pray for peace there. We pray that you will bring an end to the suffering. And as the war in Ukraine has been going on for so long, we pray that you will keep your people faithful. We pray that as the news moves away from them, and perhaps they feel that we and the outside world don't care so much, oh Father, we pray that you will comfort them and that they will know that you care, that they are able to cast their burdens on you. And we do ask that, again, there will be an end, that wicked men will be stopped, that innocent people will not be killed. Oh Lord, you are able, but we know you give this fallen world so much freedom to do things that are wrong. And we are glad that freedom doesn't go forever. We're glad that there will come a day when all wrongs will be righted, where the King will be on the throne, where you will reign forever. But that doesn't stop us praying for mercy now. So Lord, we pray for those parts of the world. And we pray for us in the things that we face. Oh Lord, help us to rejoice in the good things you give us, to thank you for the blessings of sunshine, the blessings of health, the things we so often take for granted. And help us as well to cast every one of our cares on you, knowing you care for us. So be with us in the rest of this service, we pray. Amen. So before we have the Bible reading, we're going to sing again. And we're going to sing a prayer to the God who knows us. So the words are, "Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee." So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. Turn now to God's Word. We're going to be looking at Psalm 19, and we're going to be reading the whole psalm. So God's Word reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Well, we're looking forward to Steve teaching us from that passage. But before we do that, we're going to be singing again, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Well, hello again, those of you here this morning. And again, it's great to be here today and sharing with you. And thank you for giving John a sabbatical, actually. That's the first thing. And it's a privilege to help in that time. If anybody was wondering why this morning the slide said Acts 24 when I was preaching from Luke 24, that's because I obviously just made a mistake when I sent the slides through. That was my fault, not the tech team. Luke wrote Acts, so maybe that was it, I'm not sure. But we're in Psalm 19 this evening. Now, a question. Have you ever watched somebody who's really impressive at something and thought, wow, just look at that? And then maybe you've been invited to have a go. And it just makes you feel a bit silly. You think, I'm just shown up. I don't compare. Gladiators has been on television again recently. I haven't watched it, but I understand one of the challenges is the climbing wall. And maybe you've seen people climbing, rock climbing, and you thought, wow, that's incredible. I know there's one or two in the church here that have done some of that in their time. And the really serious rock climbers, they climb up some quite incredible rock formations, don't they? They're clinging on so high up from the ground, and you think, if they fall, that's it. It's quite amazing. And you might just think, wow, look at that, look what they can do. But now change the picture. You've gone to the coast for the day, and you're on the beach, and the tide's coming in, you're cut off. Cliff behind you, water all around. The only way off that beach, as the tide continues to rise, is up the cliff. Now, it's then that you're not worried about being shown up. You're not worried about whether you can climb the rock, but the fact you've got somebody with you who is a rock climber, and who can do it, and says, cling on, and I'll carry you up. That makes all the difference. Someone else's brilliance that might make you feel weak, like I just don't compare. And yet, in the time of need, that person's brilliance that is exactly what you need. That's the picture I'm painting there. Well, let me just give you a summary of this psalm. Just before we go through it, God's glory is displayed every day, all around, in what he has made. For all to see, it's a message without words, and yet a message that is shouted out. God's glory is also revealed more clearly and more specifically in the Bible, his word. It's true, it's life-giving, it's wonderful. And as God's glory shines its light on us, on our actions and our thoughts and our desires, what does it show? What does it show up in us? And what is our response? That's a summary of this psalm, and we're going to just step through it. And I'm going to use three questions. The first one is this. Do you taste God's glory in creation? Or have you tasted God's glory in creation? There's a message. There's a message. That's what this psalm tells us. The heavens declare the glory of God. Something declared, something proclaimed, something communicated. What's doing the communicating? Well, the heavens, the expanse. I think it's perhaps helpful to think of the heavens as the sky above, what we can see in the daytime. And then the expanse, perhaps the wider universe, what you can see on a clear night. And what is the message? What is it they're telling us? God is glorious. They're telling us about him and what he is like. They're all made to show us not just something, but someone. Now, how is that shown? Well, let's just pick a few things. Clouds, they're always changing. Fantastic shapes. Interesting shapes and arrangements and all sorts of things. You can look at them and make pictures out of them, and they're different. There's the high up ones and the low down ones. And what do they tell us about God? God is creative. He designs things with so much variety. There's a horizon. We look up at the skies and there's a horizon. And it's somewhere you can never reach, because wherever you go, you look and the horizon is over there. And then we look up into space and we see stars, and there are millions of them. And the harder you look, the more you see. And we even spend billions and billions sending missions into space to try and see more and find out more. And all the time we're learning just a little bit more of this immense expanse that God has made. What does it tell us about God? He is great. He is immense. He is eternal and everywhere. Think of storms, perhaps. Stars exploding. You might have seen the pictures of that supernova in the news a number of weeks ago. Amazing. Such power. God is an almighty, powerful God. He made them. And then you get the beautiful skies, the red sunsets, the northern lights. You've seen that in the news recently as well. Maybe some of you saw them in the sky. Beautiful, beautiful. Why? Because God is beautiful. And he has made these things to show us something of what he is like. All of these things that are declared to us, that are shown to us in the heavens, that God has made, reflect on the one who thought them up, the one who designed them, the detail, the one who made them and keeps them going day by day by his power. Now, David, when he wrote this psalm, I don't know what time in his life it was. Maybe he was the shepherd boy out in the daytime looking after his sheep and looking up at the sky, looking up at night. Or maybe he was the king on his palace roof and he had a kingdom and he's a powerful man. And maybe it was in that situation that he was looking over his kingdom and then looking up and just thinking, wow, God is great and I am so small. We study to find out about creation around us. We study sciences to understand how God has made these things to work. And it's amazing, and it's interesting, and it's worthy of our study. It's worthy of learning more about. But it all speaks to us of God. All of this is without words. There is no speech. There are no words. There is no audible voice. But there is a very clear message, loud and clear, every day, all the time, around us. God is wonderful. We hear lots of things, don't we? We're surrounded by messages. Years ago, it was the town crier. Then perhaps it was the loud hailers and the billboards. Now it's streaming service ads, it's TikTok videos. Messages all around. Well, there's a moment, isn't there, to stop, to look up from the screens, to take the earphones out, to look around us and see the clear message of who God is, of his glory. And there's no excuse here. We're told in Romans chapter 1 that God's eternal power and divine nature have been made known to all of us through the things that he's made. So there's accountability here as we hear this message. But we get the big picture and then we get it narrowed down, and the sun is picked out here as a particular example. One part of creation that we all encounter, the sun that gives us light and warmth day by day. Sometimes we might wish we saw more of it, but it's there and we've experienced it. What is the sun like here in displaying God's glory? Well, the sun, or God rather, pitches the tent for the sun. What's that about? The place that the sun lives, if you like. God gives the sun a home. He put it in place. The sun that comes out like a bridegroom with the anticipation of life and joy in a marriage, in a wedding. Happy anticipation. Like an athlete, strong and impressive, running a race, being cheered on. Nothing is hidden from the sun, is it? The sun shines its light on the whole world. Okay, yes, we have day and night and we have cloudy days, but the sun gives light to the whole world. and warmth and life comes because of the light and the warmth of the sun. And so it shows God's glory, but very quickly that leads us on to another picture. You see, the sun in the Bible is also then used as a picture of Jesus Christ. The sun giving its light, the Son of God, Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're told that God has spoken in many ways over time, but in these last days, most of all through his Son, Jesus, God's best and clearest way of speaking to us. And then we're told he is the radiance of God's glory. So here we're thinking of God's glory in creation. Jesus is the shining out of God's glory. He is the one through whom we feel it and see it most clearly, most really. And so here the sun is used as the picture, and we can't help then thinking about Jesus Christ and God showing himself to us, his glory being shown through a man, one of us, among us, so that we might know God. And you think of these pictures, the bridegroom. Jesus is the true bridegroom, the one who takes his people, believers, the church, and marries them, loves them, gives everything for them. The sun being like an athlete running its race, victory. Jesus is the one who has victory over sin and death and hell and the devil. And if the sun gives life, Jesus gives life so much more. Eternal life, spiritual life. And so there's this just lovely picture of God's glory being displayed and shining out. And here's the thing, God's glory equals our good. This isn't just a kind of a general interesting thing for us to know about. No, God's glory, who he is our good. Because he is a God who saves and a God who gives life. This isn't a selfish thing where God's all about his own glory and is not bothered about anybody else. No, it's not like that. And if you've wondered if maybe that's what God is like, then can I just tell you that it is not. It's not how he's revealed in the Bible. It's not how Jesus was. Jesus, who is the best, the most real revelation of God to us. His glory includes his goodness and his kindness to us. That is his glory too. God's glory is for our good. So, do you taste God's glory in creation? Second question is this. Do you understand God's glory in the Bible? The psalm moves on to talk about God's word. Now, it doesn't say God's word, it doesn't say the Bible. But I'm saying that because the things that are mentioned here, law and testimony and precepts and commandments, they are the things from God that we have collected together in the Bible. God has shown his glory in creation, the kind of the umbrella display of his glory, but then more specifically, more clearly in his word, the Bible. A clearer description of God and his glory and why that is good news for us. Now we're given different words here to describe the Bible, to describe God's word. Law or instruction, things that inform us. Testimony. God telling us what he knows, revealing things to us. Precepts, that's got the idea of being precise and accurate. Commands, something with authority. And then decrees or rules, these are, in this version. Judgments about us, that's what they are. That's the collection of sort of things that we have in God's word. And what is the message that it's telling us? What does it tell us as we go through these verses? Well, it tells us that God is perfect and trustworthy. It tells us that he is right. He is pure, clean. He knows. He knows truth. In other words, God and his word is the right place to go if we want to know about ourselves and about him and about the world we live in and about our life, this is the right place to go. His word is life-giving, revives the soul, it rejoices the heart, makes the heart glad. Here we find something better than gold. There are riches, there's sweetness, there's something that tastes good. So as well as being the right place to go for truth and for reality, it's also desirable, it's good. God is good. God is to be desired. His glory is to be who he is, and for us to see that and to enjoy him and to say that. His glory is for our good. So do you hear that message? God's glory in the Bible. Maybe you feel the need of being renewed. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you've failed and you feel the need to be renewed out of that place. Well, God's word here tells us of renewed life that comes from God. Maybe you need wisdom. It's here for you in God's word. Maybe you feel the need today for a real reason for hope and joy because you feel like you don't have it. That is also here in God's word, in God himself, as he shows himself. Do you want real wealth? Do you want to get rich? But with something that's really worth having? Well, real riches, real wealth is found in God through his word. That is what we're told. What's the right response? Well, that's shared with us here too. Fear and love, trust, treasuring God and his word. Think of a time when maybe you've walked past a place, a venue, and you've heard notes of a song, maybe out of an open window or something, and you've heard it, and it sounded intriguing, maybe a bit magical. You thought, I want to hear more of that. And so you go in and you listen. And now you can hear the words and you can hear the full song. And it's beautiful, a beautiful sound and a beautiful story, beautiful message. And what was just a taste, just a little glimpse, becomes much clearer. Well, that's what it's like when we come to God's word, having tasted something of God from what he's made. We get this clearer picture. But there's more than that. See, God's word has all we need because it has him. And so in the same way that you might go in and listen to that song and hear the whole thing and hear the whole of the music. But there's another level to it, isn't there? You can go in and you can see the person singing it. And you can see them singing as if this is their story and pouring their heart out in the song. And so that is what happens with God's word and with God himself as we come to Jesus, who that sun was pointing to and who the word points to. We said this morning. Who is the word? It is Jesus. God's word, his best, clearest revelation to us, is Jesus himself. The word was with God and the word was God. He came and dwelt among us and we observed his glory. Jesus' glory we see for us as we see him in the New Testament as a man among us. We see his glory. God's glory shining out through Jesus. Full of grace and truth. God revealed to us. Think of that picture of the song. Singing the song. Himself being the song. Jesus coming, living among us, living out the song, the beautiful music. The truth about who God is and what he does for us. Do you understand God's glory in the Bible? And do you know Jesus? God's glory shown in a person. And if you do, then maybe your heart is singing that song right now. The song of God's glory and what it is to know him. Third question, do you humbly plead to know God's glory? We're talking about the heart now. We've talked about the umbrella, the revealing of God's glory, the clarity of his word, and now we're talking about our hearts. What do God's words show up in you? That's the question. David says here in verse 11, moreover, by them, by your words, by your instructions, is your servant warned. There is a warning. We're talking about God's glory, but there's a warning. What's the warning? Well, while there is great reward if we keep God's word, if we honour God, but there's a warning against sin, against the foolishness of dismissing God, what he's shown to us. The foolishness of turning away or opposing this glorious God. We have the picture of the sun and its warmth and its life-giving sort of activity. But the sun's light also shows things up, doesn't it? It shines on us and on things and shows them up. If you take a magnifying glass to the sun's light, it becomes really intense. What does it show as God's glory shines on us? What does it show in us? David says in verse 12, who can discern his errors? Who can really know his own heart and the extent of his own sin? There are things that we don't even notice or understand in our own hearts and in our actions. Things we don't even realise. Things that are so threaded through our desires and thoughts. Things that are so much of a pattern. Maybe it's a habit and I just don't see it myself. Perhaps I'm so, say, taken up with how I'm feeling that I ignore somebody else and just don't notice their pain. Maybe there's something you really want and you're working hard towards, but really it's for your own pride and status. That's what it's really about. Words that we've said that are right, but are not said for the good of the other person or people around. Maybe just tired, and we just stop thinking about what's honouring to God. There's those ways in which we sin. And we don't discern it ourselves. We don't see it. We don't notice it even. And God's glory, in contrast, shows these things up. And David wants to pray, declare me innocent from hidden faults. Cleanse me of these things. Please deal with them. You know, what's our response to those things? Maybe we say, well, we're all human. Well, yeah, that's true. Well, that's why we need a saviour. Yes, that's true. But David says, Lord, expose it, cleanse me. Please declare me innocent from these things. God, I need you to deal with this. Why is that so important? Because if we want to know more of God, if we want to understand more of his glory, which is for our good, then our sin needs dealing with. And that's still true for us when we know God as our Saviour. We sang that song earlier, Show Pity, Lord, O Lord, Forgive. It's a song of repentance, asking God to deal with our sin. And that is what David is doing here. He doesn't debate it. He doesn't try and excuse himself. He doesn't try and wriggle out of it. He says, Lord, please deal with it. Is your longing to be exposed to the light of God's glory, so that your sin is surfaced, so it can be dealt with? I'm sure many of you have had cuts or grazes that have had to be cleaned out. And it can sting. I know when we were teenagers, there was one particular bike ride. And I know Matt was with me and I came off and skinned both of my palms. And I think you cycled home, Matt, very kindly, so Mum could come and pick me up. But when I got home, what did we do? Salt water, scrubbing brush to pick out the dirt, because you've got to get rid of the dirt, otherwise it won't heal, otherwise it won't be healthy again. And we need that doing in our hearts. We need God to work in our hearts to surface the dirt, the sin, to get rid of it, to keep working so that we might know more of his glory. That's David's desire in this psalm. God's glory revealed. And I want to know him more. God, please deal with my sin. But there's a second category, if you like, of sins here. In verse 13, he says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. You've got those sins that we don't always even notice. But then you've got the presumptuous sins, the willful sins, the things that are deliberate, that are conscious, that are planned. If I plan to lie to cover something up, that's a willful sin. If you pay somebody back by turning somebody else against them because you're upset with them, that's a willful sin. There are many things that we decide to do. We know it's wrong. We know what we're doing. And we decide to do it. And David says those things are particularly dangerous. Let them not have dominion over me. These things tend to then rule us when we give in to them. It's quite sobering to see in the Old Testament when God gave the Israelites the laws and sacrifices. There was a sacrifice for unintended sin. But in Numbers 15, they were specifically told there was not a sacrifice for defiant sin. This kind of willful sin or high-handed sin. In the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, we're told that if we deliberately carry on sinning, then no sacrifice remains for us. It's sobering. Set against God's glory, sin really matters. And it really needs dealing with. And if you're not yet a Christian, then can I say your sin needs dealing with? It really does. Please don't just carry on in it. Don't carry on as you are. Come humbly to God and ask his forgiveness. So David says, please, God, do not let sin rule in me. Even as a believer, sin still indwells, and it can disable us, can't it, in our walk with the Lord. It can rule us. And maybe you feel that. Maybe one of you, or some of you feel that today, that there's a sin, a pattern of sin in your life, and it's ruling you. And it keeps you from enjoying God's glory. Well, humbly plead. Come to him. Ask God, please help me. Keep me from it. So that I may be blessed, may be cleansed, may know more of you and your glory. Mould me and make me after your will, we sang just before the sermon. Well, how is God's glory displayed when sinners do come to him? Well, this psalm covers that too, doesn't it? At the end there, David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. How is God's glory displayed when sinners come to him? Because he is their rock and their redeemer. What is a rock? It's solid. It's immovable. It's a safe place to stand. In February half term, as a family, we were down on the south coast, and it was wet and wild, and we were on the beach one day, and the waves were coming in, and it was actually concrete rather than rock, but a solid lump there in the middle of the beach, and the waves were crashing in around it, and a couple of us went and stood on that lump of concrete, and we were above the water, and it was coming in, and it was crashing on the beach, but we were safe because we were on the rock. That's what a rock is, a safe place, even for a sinner, even for somebody who comes knowing that they need cleaning up, that they're bringing nothing, but comes to God, the one who is glorious and who is a saviour, a redeemer. That's the second word here. A redeemer, one who rescues, who buys back, a redeemer who buys back somebody out of slavery. Out of a place of bondage, of being stuck into freedom. God is the one in his glory who was willing to take that cost. Would a glorious God that we've been talking about, would he want to do something costly to deal with my sin and to bring me back, even after all these years. And the resounding answer is yes. This is God's glory, to do that for you, to do that for every sinner that repents and turns to him. That is God's glory. Do you humbly plead to know God's glory? We're going to sing before we close. And we're going to sing this song, Christ Be In My Waiting. This again is a prayer, a statement of desire that Jesus Christ should be in us and in our lives day by day, tomorrow morning and the next morning. Because we need to know him and know God in our lives. So let's sing this together again. Let's perhaps stand now and then we're ready to sing as the music starts. You are so great and so good and so wonderful. We long that our words and our thoughts might be acceptable to you. You're the one who matters. You made us. Please forgive us. Please welcome us back as we repent. We pray that our heart's desire might be right and might be for you. Thank you for showing your glory in creation. Thank you for explaining it clearly in your word. Thank you for sending Jesus so that we might know you through him. We give thanks in his name. Amen.